2020 has not been friendly to everyone. It's been filled with challenges. So, I'm just grateful to be sitting here with you guys. But in terms of how I felt coming into this environment back to work, you don't want to take any day for granted. You want to be able to come in and be happy, be secure, and feel protected. That's all that matters, is what's going on in this locker room, what's going on out there in the court, and how can we continue to build and grow.
That was a suddenly talkative Kyrie Irving yesterday, addressing his favorite people on the planet, the media. On Sunday, we got our first glimpse into Kyrie's on-court dynamic with Kevin Durant, who finally returned to action after rupturing his Achilles 18 months ago. Today, ESPN's Malika Andrews brings us the latest from inside Barclays Center, whether this chemistry experiment will work, and what it's like to cover the NBA now, outside the bubble. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, December 15th. This is ESPN Big. Malika, it is really good to hear your voice back on ESPN Daily.
It's good to be back, and I'm back not in Orlando and not eating sushi. What is this?
Yeah, it's strange times. The last time we spoke was almost 2 months ago exactly, actually. You had just left the NBA bubble. You had just returned to where you are now, your Manhattan apartment. The corner bodega had welcomed you back, like Belle and Beauty and the Beast, like little town came alive to welcome you.
I did bring my bodega guys. I brought them the NBA masks from the bubble. They very much enjoyed those. That scored big free coffee points with them.
So Malika, I am super excited to talk to you today. You are covering the Brooklyn Nets this season for ESPN.
Yeah.
And you went to your first unbubbled NBA game in a really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first preseason game, the debut of the Brooklyn Nets, and they faced the Wizards on Sunday night in Brooklyn. So what was it like actually going inside the building?
So I arrived at Barclays Center too early. The doors open at 3, and I was standing outside at 2:30 with Alex Schiffer, who is the Nets beat writer for The Athletic. We stand outside, 6 feet apart of the media entrance to Barclays Center, for a half an hour, chatting. Eventually, we walk inside, we go through security as normal, and the testing folks come through and they set up at their tables and they say, okay, who's first? And I say, I'm first, I'll do it. This test is one of the longer Q-tips. It goes a little bit farther up your nose, yep. And the results come back in 6 minutes. So I got my one blue line as I was negative, and I got to walk through to where we're normally sitting. And the seats are distanced 6 feet apart. Only 7 of us that got cleared to be in Barclays Center. And that's where I sat and watched the game. You can't interact with players. You can't interact with coaches. You can't interact with the front office members. You are up on the concourse level and they are down on the court. And that boundary cannot be crossed.
So it sounds extraordinarily rigorous, also kind of strange, all of which sets you up to actually watch an NBA game in a real live, full-time NBA arena. And I want to get into Kevin Durant and his return to play in a little bit, but I want to start here, Malika, with Kyrie Irving, because it's impossible not to at this point.
Right.
He was making headlines all last week for refusing to speak to people like us in the media. And all of that changed yesterday when he ends up finally having a session with journalists. So first off, please just take us through what made all of this so highly anticipated. Like, this is a preseason media availability, but it was certainly not a normal event.
Well, it was just preseason availability, but preseason availability is also the first time we hear from these guys. And because it was his first preseason availability, it's also the first time that we've had a chance to talk to him since he had season-ending shoulder surgery in February. So That's been a long time. A lot has happened. So Media Week comes and goes, and Kyrie Irving hasn't talked. Kyrie Irving gets fined. They practice the next day. He doesn't talk. The preseason game comes, and still, afterwards, Kyrie doesn't talk. And then, on Monday morning, we text and ask in the Nets Beat group chat, "Hey, who are we getting today?" No response. And then we get a message that says, "Hey, get to your computers in the next 10 minutes. We're starting early." And all of a sudden, Kyrie Irving pops up on the Zoom link.
"Okay, Eli, we are good to go here."
"All right, we're going to start off with Michael Grady with the Yes Network."
And he's all smiles. "Hey guys, what's up? How's it going?"
"Well, I think that's a great question, and I appreciate that. It really, you can't make up experience."
It was just, ready or not, here Kyrie comes. We, as the press corps that covers Kyrie every day, spent a lot of time thinking about what was the appropriate way in which he needed to answer for taking this time off of speaking to reporters, because the question is never about us. It is not, why aren't you speaking to us? It is, in the interest of the people, in this case, you entertain. Why and what was this set up to achieve? And on Monday, Kyrie was asked, what started this? Why did this happen? And he said,
"The focus is on what's going on in the task here, you know, my job. And I wanted to make sure that that was clear. There are no distractions. It's just really how I felt about the mistreatment of certain artists when we get to a certain platform, of when we make decisions within our lives, to have full control and ownership. And if I can't have my voice protected on this platform where I offer myself and my art, just inviting everyone to it, because this is what I've been blessed to do."
So the art thing aside, which is its own matter of artistic interpretation, let's say.
Sure.
What stuck out to you about what he said? What was the meaning there?
Well, I think it was threefold of what he said that stuck out. One was his response to the why of taking this break. And that is that he felt that he was doing his job, which is to play basketball, although there is an argument to be made that part of that job contractually is speaking to reporters. That's an agreement that the league has made with its players. Two, he talked about getting back out on the court with Kevin Durant and said, you know, 7-Eleven, that referring to their numbers, that they're here, that he's excited, that it was good to see him come back. And three, on October 1st, he goes on a podcast that's hosted by Kevin Durant and says,
"I don't really see us having a head coach. You know what I mean? Like, KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Jacques Vaughn could do it one day."
On Monday, Kyrie said, "You know, I think I need to take that comment back."
"You got a two-time MVP coaching you, man. I'm like, you know, I think I got to take back my comments in terms of head coach back a few months ago. But it's just like, man, we have such a great synergy. Everyone feels like we're coaching one another to be better. So I'm grateful for that."
You asked me what stood out from Kyrie today. It really was the intangible. It's not what he said, it's how he said it. He was engaged. Mm. There were multiple times that he used reporters' names when he was answering their questions. There were times that he made jokes. He said, "I appreciate you being here." He said that, "I hope your families are well." This wasn't a hostage being brought in to do something that he absolutely didn't want to do, which made his break all the more curious. Did he just need some air?
Right.
Maybe. Maybe he did.
Part of the challenge, Malika, in understanding all of this is that there are so many Just confusing, head-scratching statements from Kyrie. Over the summer, we had that comment that was widely interpreted to be a shot at LeBron.
You know, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for, you know, down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that can make that shot too. And he'll probably do it a lot easier.
And then there's the category of just incoherent things, like the time he went on Gino Auriemma's podcast and questioned if the Earth is actually round.
When I started actually doing research on my own and figuring out that there is no real picture of Earth, like there's not one picture of Earth, and then it becomes like conspiracy too, where you start thinking like, okay, let me question this.
What do you make of Kyrie when he says stuff like this?
I think that Kyrie is generally coming from a place of being curious. But the thing about being curious is that you need to couple being curious oftentimes with being comfortable admitting what you don't know. And that's something that I'm sure he's working on figuring out how to balance. There are times when I listen to Kyrie and I think, huh, I haven't thought about this topic that way, and that's interesting. There are other times I listen to Kyrie and I think, I don't think that that particular Dr. King or Malcolm X quote is being invoked in the way that it was intended. And that's Kyrie for you. He isn't someone you can just label and set aside into a neat category or pile. And that is going to be something that we're going to continue to see.
All right, Malika, after the break, I want to dive further into the ambitions of Kyrie Irving and the Nets, and also the other character he's going to be working with all season in Kevin Durant.
Delicious, meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Malika, in your capacity as Nets reporter, did you watch, did you catch up on the Instagram Live that Kyrie did with Kevin Durant, which is a journalistically rigorous question, I swear?
I did, but I did not watch it live. I watched it back.
You had a way better Saturday night than I did. I bring that up because how he fits with KD is the question of this entire season. And there was one clip from that exchange in which Kyrie is talking to KD. I will say this for context, tongue-in-cheekly, about getting more post-ups.
I'm just saying, I don't think that's good for the continuity of our offense if our point guard always want to be at underneath the rim.
So what about 7 post-ups instead of 8?
I mean, we negotiated, I think. I thought we was going to do 2.5 post-ups a game. The half one is like, I throw you the ball in the post and you just throw it right back out to me.
And naturally, this gets clipped out. It gets circulated virally on the internet. And it's evidence, allegedly, and this is where I defend Kyrie here, that this is definitely not going to work. What did you make of that exchange? What did you make of what all of this actually means?
You know, I did not make much of it. If I had just seen it as the one clip or in print, I might have said, huh, you know, what does he mean? How's that going to work? He can't be serious. But of course, I'm not sure that he was serious. And even if one believed that he was, all you had to do was watch them on Sunday night.
Oh, Irving, the down court feed to Durant. Beautiful brotherly connection, Durant and Irving.
They know the talent they have on paper, but the proof is going to be in the pudding. Where that comment that Kyrie made can start to take off is, can that talent overcome anything that could potentially happen off of the floor? That's the question. There is no doubt that this team has the talent to really be a contender to come out of the East and potentially to win it all.
So it sounds like your forecast for Kevin Durant, based on the sample size of one preseason game, it's optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
So that Achilles injury, I just want to get some context on this. I mean, it is very hard to come back from. There have been other stars who've dealt with it. This sounds, though, like something there has been a plan for from the beginning. Like 19 months leading up to this preseason game, this is the focus.
Yeah. I mean, no one can plan to have that extra amount of time off. The fact that the season didn't start until December, rather than having the preseason start at the end of September or in the middle of October, that's a pretty big difference. There are people who have tried to come back in a year. There are people who've tried to come back in a little bit less than a year. Having more than a year without games being played, it removed the pressure of attempting to come back too early in some ways. And yes, he did decide not to play in the bubble, but really he said from the beginning of the 2019-20 season, he was not going to play for that season. And the bubble was a continuation of that season. So he did, in essence, stick to his word. Kevin said he had a lot of what he called anxiety around this day in the run-up to getting back out on the floor.
Hell yeah, I was anxious, nervous. I visualized this moment for so long, you know, 9-10 months of just thinking about how it would be this, you know, next phase of my career, you know what I'm saying? So
he wanted to get back out there and see what he was working with. He wasn't ready to say in training camp that he was back. He wasn't ready to see when clips of LA workout started coming out that he was back. He wasn't ready. He isn't ready after one preseason game to come out and say he's back, in part because Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, the biggest names on the Washington Wizards, didn't play and he didn't get a chance to test himself against other all-stars. So he is being very cautious with all of this.
So I want to turn the focus to Steve Nash for a second, because he is the guy shepherding this whole chemistry experiment with Kyrie and KD. And as he sails this ship through uncharted waters, How do you think he's going to navigate all of it? He's a former player who also happened to play against the guys actually on his team.
Well, it's interesting that you say that he's entering uncharted territories, which is true. He is. Not only with two stars like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but also coaching in the midst of a pandemic. But Steve will say and has said it would be uncharted territory for him anyway, because he's never coached before. He has nothing to compare this to. And his prowess in the league gives him a different sort of credibility with his players from that standpoint. I asked Steve Nash if he had spoken to Kyrie about putting out these statements, about making these Instagram posts. And he said, to be honest, he hadn't, because he's still trying to get to know Kyrie. And he said on Monday, when he was asked again about if he knew that Kyrie was planning on speaking to reporters for the first time, Steve admitted that he didn't know and said, maybe if I'd been a coach for another year, I would have talked to him about it. But right now, I just want him to feel like he can come to me. And that could be a benefit for Steve as he's trying to navigate being a first-time head coach and also working to get all of these personalities to gel. And don't forget, he also has one of the most, if he has one of the most stacked teams, he also has one of the most stacked assistant coaching staffs in the league with Jacques Vaughn, with Mike D'Antoni. He's kind of broken this up like a football roster. Mm. Mike D'Antoni, he said, is the offensive coach. Jacques Vaughn is the defensive coach. And so he is delegating some of those tasks so that he can also be the former player that can speak the same language as superstars because he's been there. He wasn't a fringe X player. He was the man for years. So he knows on a personal level what these guys are going through in a different way than probably anyone else can, and he played against them. So as long as he can continue to spin that into an advantage and also lean on the experience that he has on the bench next to him, this has the potential to be a successful experiment.
One of the threats to the harmony of that experiment, but also something that I think Brooklyn Nets fans would be incredibly excited about, is the larger conversation happening with James Harden. Because James Harden has said his preferred destination is Brooklyn. So how is this team handling that gravitational center that is emanating in Houston, Texas?
Well, they say, and by they, I mean Caris LeVert, who is a piece that is attractive to many teams. They is Kevin Durant. They is Kyrie Irving. They is Steve Nash, have all addressed this idea of James Harden being available potentially and wanting to join a championship caliber team with Brooklyn at the top of that list. And all of them have said some form of James Harden is not on our roster. James Harden is not in our practice. We are not focused on James Harden. And I'm inclined to believe them because the conversations that I've had with sources within the Nets front office leave me with the impression that it is James Harden. That's his destination. It isn't the Nets' priority. They are not willing to give up the moon and the stars to gut their depth that will help them, especially in a year that depth may be more important than ever, to make that trade. And so because it doesn't seem like something that the Nets are trying to move mountains to do, why would it come up in their everyday practices?
It's important for us to step back for a second, Malika, and just acknowledge it's been one preseason game and all of this has happened. So when you look ahead to your job covering this team this season, what do you think it's going to be like?
It's a good thing that I'm not a betting woman because I have no idea. I don't think there is any way I could have predicted the twists and turns that have already happened. And that's why we do this. I'm a person, I am an anxious person. I like watching the same movies and the same television shows over and over because I know what's going to happen in the end. And that is a comforting feeling for me. I like certainty. And this team is anything but certain.
Malika Andrews, thank you for joining us again on ESPN Daily.
Thanks, Pablo.
Okay, up next. The Cleveland Indians are finally changing their name. So I called up Cleveland native Jeff Passan to tell us how his home city is taking the news.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. The news is out there by now that the Cleveland Indians are changing their name at long last. So we called ESPN's Jeff Passan to discuss. So Jeff, what did you think when you heard the news?
It's about time. I mean, it's... How do you quantify how late it is? It's 105 years late. It's something that was originally theoretically intended to honor and intended to be a positive thing, but something that over time, I think, has its own problems. And yet there are still so many people out there, so many people that I know who look at the name Indians, find absolutely nothing wrong with it or Chief Wahoo, and are still willing to embrace both and will always, at least they say, they will always look at the Cleveland baseball team as the Cleveland Indians, even when the name does go away.
So, Jeff, it's important to note here, you are from Cleveland. I didn't know this about you until your column, actually, on ESPN.com, which was excellent. But you're from Cleveland. You have friends, childhood friends, who are also fans of the Cleveland Indians. What was their reaction to all this?
So there's a group of us. Started when we were 10 years old playing fantasy baseball. Here we are, all turning 40 within the past year, and we are still in a fantasy baseball league together. And this is – baseball is really the tie that binds me with my childhood friends. And I vehemently disagree with every one of them because they have this attachment to the Indians and to the name and to our childhood. They have an attachment because to them, the Indians represent Kenny Lofton and Manny Ramirez and Albert Bell and Carlos Baerga and Paul Sorrento and Eddie Murray and all of these and Jim Thome and Omar Vizquel, all of these names of our childhood, of our formative years, all of these great memories that we have. And that to me is the part of this story, just as it was with the Washington football team, that resonates the most. You know, when I see the response to my column from people saying you're not going to solve racial injustice by changing a nickname, you're right. We're not going to solve it. But I think if we get one step closer to recognizing our personal place in the world and how it fits into this greater puzzle with those around us and how some people out there who have been through things we cannot even possibly fathom or imagine might respond to this and might see this as being a step forward or as being more inclusive or as making them more comfortable, that's a net positive right there. And it's the sort of net positive that to me overwhelms this idea of a name that we have a youthful attachment to, something from when we were a teenager that we can still romanticize even without the name.
I want to look ahead here because the owner of the Cleveland Indians, Paul Dolan, told the Associated Press this on Monday, quote, "The name is no longer acceptable in our world," end quote. Then he also said, quote, "We'll be the Indians in 2021. And then after that, it's a difficult and complex process to identify a new name and do all the things you do around activating that name," which is all to say that they're going to be the Indians, Jeff, or next season. And in the past, the team has continued to sell merchandise with the logo, Chief Wahoo, right on it, even though that is not officially the logo that is permitted in the actual stadium. So what is happening here? Why is this taking seemingly a whole other season at least to resolve?
You know, Pablo, it's December 15th right now. We are 2 weeks or so away from the new year. And let me tell you, I have this amazing diet that I'm going to start on January 1st, 2022. That is what the Cleveland Indians are doing right now by continuing to use the name Indians. They are putting this off for a year for no particular reason whatsoever. I'm not saying they need to pick a name right now. I'm saying they could be BC Cleveland, Baseball Club of Cleveland. They could be the Cleveland baseball team. As we see, the Washington football team has been a pretty seamless transition.
Yes.
Here's the truth, Pablo. I wore a Chief Wahoo hat for a long time. I did. I grew up a Cleveland Indians fan. I identified with that hat. And then at some point, I looked at it and I said to myself, what are you doing? And it was not because I wanted to be woke. It was the fact that somebody out there feels less than because of that logo. And I didn't know a person at that point, but I want to read to you. This was from Cleveland Scene, which is an alt weekly in the Cleveland area. And Nancy Kelsey Carroll wrote a story this past July, Native American woman who grew up in Cleveland. She said, I'd like to think, believing in the inherent goodness of people, that if people knew what Native people have had to go through in Cleveland as a result of the team name, they'd see there's no honor in it. I never want them to feel like I did, like they have to reduce their indigenousness to get by in this town. I'm tired of conversations, some evolving into heated debates with friends and strangers about the team name and Chief Wahoo. I do not, nor have I ever felt honored by the team name. The strides toward phasing out Chief Wahoo were steps in the right direction, but there's still more to do. Please advocate in your own group of friends and relatives for the name change. I especially direct this toward my friends of color. If blackface offends you, as it should, then how can you excuse redface? You can't.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.